Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode.
Hi, Becky.
I'm excited to just chat with you today and see where it goes.
Me too. Yes, I'm very excited because I feel like whatever even comes out of this conversation for everyone who's going to listen to it eventually, I know already from reading your book, like cover to cover in one sitting, that we're going to have a very juicy conversation. So with that being said, can you introduce yourself a little bit to our audience and also let us know what brought you into manifestation and specifically in the area of love?
So I'm Becky Ringler. I have a couple of things that I do. I own Simple Kona Beach Weddings here in Kailua, Kona, Hawaii, and I plan, coordinate, and officiate custom, simple, beautiful beach weddings here. And I also am a dating relationship coach and really a manifestation coach. Everything that I do, I feel like centers around two things, love and manifestation, and the understanding that we all have the ability to create the reality that we want. And it's just sort of understanding the laws of physics, and it's a really fun way to play with your life. I was introduced to manifestation from a very young age without knowing it. Mm-hmm. My dad, who is 93, I'm the baby of the family, he really planted the seed in my mind. He was reading Thinking Grow Rich and all the stuff around the times when it really started, I think, becoming a little more mainstream, like back in the 50s and 60s. And then when my sister and I were little, he used to like hypnotize us for positive things, like right before we went to sleep. I didn't understand any of this, that he was doing any of this really. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, it worked. And I would say that it wasn't until like 20-ish years ago, and then I really started focusing on manifestation and consciously understanding and studying this a lot more purposefully and using it in my life. And then in terms of the focus of love, I was a marriage and family therapist in California. I did work in a hospital, but also on the side, I ran these singles play shops, and I would help people meet in groups, and we would play games together, and we would do things to help people meet. And I feel like because I dated, so long before I met my husband, and I made a lot of mistakes and a lot of other things, I became really focused on how had I been using some of the techniques that I know now when I was dating, how I could have been way more effective in the dating and relationship realm. That's how I started really using manifestation. That was kind of a long, convoluted answer because it has not been a linear path.
I love the fact that this is something that you grew up with. And then it sounds like there was a break in between learning it and understanding it on a cognitive level to actually like implementing it into your life, like making a conscious decision that, oh, that's really interesting, all that stuff that I learned in childhood, and now I'm actually going to apply it in my life. Was there a moment where you were like, I think that I want to start using these principles more in my day-to-day life? Or was it just a gradual, they just made their way back in? They weren't really necessarily not there.
I feel like they've always been there. But ironically, it was a talk with a financial advisor that I was having when I lived in San Francisco before I was married. He told me that I should really read Think and Grow Rich. By the way, my dad, I don't think he even realized that this is what, it wasn't called that then. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think he never made a point to say, this is what we're doing. Like, I didn't even know. So it wasn't like I was ignoring it and then moved away and then came back. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't a thing then. When I started studying it more, he sent me all his notes. He's like, I think I've been doing this for years. It was really cool. So it was really a conversation that I had with a financial advisor that helped me along this path. And then I discovered this personal development business, which I did for a while back in the early 2000s. And that really sparked the start of the study. And of course, The Secret came out, and all these things were all in the vortex of everybody at that time. And then Abraham Hicks and all the stuff was there. So it was really fun to practice and use and see it work. To answer your question, I did not consciously do anything. It's sort of like I was ready for it, but it came back into my life. And then it's been a very conscious part of my life since then.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautiful. When you were dating, you weren't necessarily using the laws of manifestation and stuff like that. No. So this was an afterthought too.
I thought I want someone like this and I want someone like that. If I'd only consciously known these things, I would have saved myself so much time. But it also helped me when I was finally putting these things into place. I felt like because I had made a lot of errors, I could see where my mindset led me astray. If I'd done everything perfectly, I wouldn't be a good teacher. By the time I met my husband, I was practicing these things a lot more consciously. And then really with him, I developed a lot of this stuff. I really practiced a lot of the things. So all transparency, I did not use this. I made all the errors in the world. I mean, I used it sometimes without knowing it, right?
Right.
As we all do, consciously knowing this stuff will help people avoid a lot of heartache is really my hope. Although the book is very focused on manifesting, it's really also reminding people, I say people, even though it's centered around women fighting men, because that's my experience, but it's around reminding people, and I think especially women need this reminder, of valuing yourself. The whole time I was dating, I was very unapologetically me, which doesn't always play into what you're supposed to do. But I feel like in the end, that's how you get the person who's right for you.
I love that. Yes, that's so good. Let's talk a little bit about your book because I loved it. Your voice reminded me a lot of Jen Sincero, actually, who writes the Badass books, because you're just so open and honest about everything. And it's funny and it's so relatable. And it's also not a million pages long. So it is so nice to just sit down and read cover to cover. The full title is Reeling Him In, The Essential Guide to Manifesting Your Perfect Guy. Just to clarify, reeling is R-E-A-L-I-N-G. So that's adorable. Do you think that there is truly a perfect person when we are all a little imperfect?
There's a perfect person for you. I also think there could be more than one perfect person for you. Nobody is perfect. Ever, right? Everyone has their quirks and their imperfections. Who has the quirks where you're like, okay, I can handle that because everything else is great. And that's not something that makes me want to run for the hills. It's like, all right, I can tolerate that you snore. Because for some people, it's like, no, I cannot be with anyone who snores. We all have our things that are like, no, that's on the no list. Mm-hmm. I believe that there can be more than one perfect person for you. And I say that because I feel like I've had true love a couple of times in my life. I feel, however, that my husband is my perfect person for marriage, my perfect person for my lifetime. But I also feel like the true loves that I had before that showed me that I could truly love somebody and that I could be truly loved by somebody. And the timing wasn't right. And it wasn't really the best long-term match, but I did feel totally and completely loved and adored. And obviously, it didn't work out and that was fine. It was young and it wasn't the right timing. I always say that to people because sometimes things happen and you think you have the perfect person and then for some reason it doesn't work out. And I don't think it's a tragedy when people think I'll never find that perfect thing again. And I feel like you will. It'll be different. It'll be a different part of you. It'll be a different match for you. But I believe that there can be more than one perfect person for you. Depends on when you meet the person and that time in your life. And sometimes all you need is that one, right? That's all you need. But for those who may have lost, I always feel like there's hope because love is a very broad thing. Like we're all really capable of love. If you really love yourself, I feel like you can draw love in from other people and you can find it. Again, it'll be always different because two people interact in a unique way together.
Essentially, each relationship that we have, even if it's not a forever relationship, if we feel love, that is an experience that shows us that we are even capable of loving and to be loved.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make them any less of a love story. It just is different.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel grateful for those experiences. The first true love I had was young. And after we broke up, I felt like I know I deserve a love at least as good as this. And if someone doesn't love me as much as I was loved, forget it. I know what it is to be loved. And I want to be that or more. And that really helped. And by the way, sometimes people don't find that kind of love until later. And that's okay too. That doesn't mean that you're any less lovable, but if it is something where you had it and you lost it, it doesn't have to be this big tragedy. In fact, for manifestation, it's a great callback. You can remember that feeling. You can remember what it feels like to be loved. You can remember how wonderful that feels, and you raise your vibration to that level, and then it will attract the right kind of vibration to yourself. So whenever we have a good sense memory, that is a great tool to use for manifestation.
With every new experience, with every new level of love that we feel, it almost sounded like you were saying, my worthiness is also moving up, right? Because now I know what my non-negotiables are with things that I do and I don't like. And then at what level or how I want to be loved is now more clear for myself, and thus allows me to say, knowing myself better now, because I've had the experience, that this is what I'm looking for and this is what I'm not looking for. This is what I'm willing to compromise on. This is what I'm not willing to compromise on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really helpful guide. Everyone starts at a different place also in terms of how did you grow up? How was your familial relationship? How were you loved by a parent or people that acted like parents for you? All of these things inform how we feel about ourselves. And sometimes that can take more time to feel worthy or to feel that I know I was fortunate. My parents were very loving and they loved each other. I feel like I came into it knowing that I was lovable and that I was worthy of being loved, but that does not mean it was easy. It just meant, like, I know it should be like this. Why isn't it like this? But I also know that's not everybody's experience, and that's also okay. That doesn't mean you're any less worthy of having that kind of love. It just might mean that it'll take you some time to learn that you do deserve it. Everybody really deserves the best love that they can have, and everybody's worthy of that, for sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Beautiful. I love it so much. So in the book, you write about creating kind of this perfect guy list, because when we're thinking about manifestation, we have to know what we were looking for, what we want, what our desires are in a person. So my question that came up for me was seemingly rational conflicts. And I'll give an example of what I mean. If I'm a certain age, let's say 55, and I'm wanting a man with a rocking body,
right,
but who is also around my age, and that feels like a conflict to me, is this just a perception shift that I need to make in my mind that there are men my age with a rocking body at 55 kind of thing? Or do I need to think about what does a quote unquote rocking body look like? So basically my question is, when we have desires, but then our conditioning or society tells us that's not rational, what do we do?
I marry lots of people, right? And a lot of my couples are older. And I can tell you there's many 55, 65-year-olds, even 70-plus-year-olds that have rocking bodies. So that's one thing. The other thing is that one's perception of what a rocking body is changes over time. No matter how young or old you are, one's perception of, quote, a rocking body could be totally different. So it just depends on what you think a rocking body is, A, and B, I think as you age, your appreciation changes for what's important to you. But if you do indeed, like, you must have someone who's super fit and as rock solid as they can, I can assure you there are many men out there of that age that have a rocking body, like traditional, like what we consider, that society considers this a rocking body. I will always remind everyone that this is what you think it is. It's not what anyone else thinks it is. And you don't have to share this list with anyone. Like, this is your personal list. It's all about what's important to you, and you don't have to advertise it to the world. This is all a private activity. You can share with other people, but in general, this is about what's important to you. As we age, our priorities change too. I've married a lot of people who are having their second or third marriage, and sometimes the brides will tell me, like, man, this time around, the most important thing to me was I just wanted someone kind, or, oh, he's so good with my kids, or he listens to me so well, or he's my best friend. And I didn't have that the first time because I thought I should be married and I got married too young, or whatever it is. If you're still thinking that you have to have something because society tells you that you have to have something, maybe you need to go back and be genuine to yourself. Like, what is really important to you? Or if you're just owning it, like, I have to be with a certain person who looks a certain way because that's how my life is and that's what's important to me, then okay. And if you can't find a rich, look younger, whatever.
Right. It sounds like if you are having an issue with something that you want to put down on your desires list, that really going back to your thoughts and perceptions around this and digging maybe even a little deeper.
Yeah. And the other thing is that you don't have to know the how, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the universe's job to figure out the how. You just put it down on paper. You say, this is what I want. Here's my list. It's like when you're looking for a house or an apartment. When I was looking for an apartment a billion years ago, it feels like in San Francisco, I was like, I want a skylight. I want an attic room with a lot of space. And I want it for under $500, right? Impossible. Yet I found that room because I wrote it down. I said, this is what I want. I was obsessive about looking. And if you don't think something exists, it doesn't exist.
Mm.
But if you do, it does. It can. I mean, that's the whole point. It's sort of a ridiculous thing, but you have to believe it before it happens. That's always like, believe it, and then you'll see it, not the other way around. There is no way you have to know how anything will happen. You just have to be clear about what you want. And that, I think, is one of the biggest keys. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this so much because I feel like I manifest in other areas of my life. But because I am currently married and I didn't use manifestation to meet my husband, I just never really thought of manifestation and love before. All the tools of manifestation are really the same, and you just apply it to different aspects or parts of your life. I think that sometimes we can get really blocked in one area of life that we're trying to use the manifestation tools, because we've just never done that before. That makes complete and utter sense that I have to believe it before I see it. And like, I don't have to know how, right? I mean, I know that from manifesting in other areas of my life, but until I'm really applying it to this particular aspect of life, some of those old reactions toward how to manifest may not be fully fleshed out, right? And they might block me up a little.
I'm going to give you a little metaphor here. Back in California, we lived at an apartment that had a pool. And I was sitting by the pool one day, and this family comes in, and this girl, maybe like 15, gets in the pool, and she was swimming, but she was really standing and then moving her arms and walking around. And I said, do you need any help learning how to swim? And she said, no, I know how to swim. I just can't swim in deep water. Mm. And I said, you can swim no matter how deep the water is.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. And the tools for manifestation are the same. Mm. And you may be have to practice. Like, swimming in the ocean is different than swimming in a pool, and swimming in a lake is different than salt water versus fresh water. You might need a little practice in the different areas, and then you can apply it anywhere. It becomes natural to use it anywhere in your life. The funny thing is, I never thought about not using it everywhere in my life.
Yeah.
So I think that's fascinating, and that's very helpful for me to know that this may be a block.
I think it's interesting that you say that too, because for me, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and spirituality and manifestation and all this stuff was really never in my vernacular. And so I've been really interested to see how, with people who have grown up in this knowledge of these spiritual principles, and even your dad's story, right? That like, he was doing it before he even really knew. I think someone coming from a brand new understanding and learning of it maybe has to go through actually doing it, right? As opposed to people who have kind of grown up with it and have that foundation already. It's almost like an entry point, like for people who need manifestation or are interested in it in this one area of life. I'm finding for myself, until I need to use it in a different area of my life, I'm not necessarily doing it. And I don't know if that's everyone's story.
That's really important too, because I think that it's almost like breathing. It's not that I don't have to practice it. There's times I fall off the wagon. I'm like, oh, it's because I'm not focused on it. So therefore it's not happening. And when I go back to like reading my affirmations, my intentions and the things that I want, then everything just falls back into place. And I attract all the things that I need in a certain area. Sometimes though, because it takes a lot of concentration at times, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm just going to let it slide. Like the true focus, because it does take focus too, right? Mm. You have to be intentional with it. Just because I know how to do it doesn't make it easy every second of every day. It takes time, just like it's any kind of practice. It's like working the muscle and getting strong at it. And then also realizing if you're struggling in a certain area to be like, wait a minute, I have tools at my disposal to help me here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Did something resonate with you in this episode? Are you experiencing awakenings or synchronicities in your life, email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.